turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. But I'm going to read all the way to verse 14. So I'm going to read the first 14 verses, because if you don't read all the verses, it won't make a lot of sense about where we're going to go today. And I don't really believe I'm going to be preaching as a pastor today. I believe I'm going to be preaching as an evangelist, so get ready for that, okay? I've only done that, I think, once here a long, long time ago. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. The actual text today is, for this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. The reason I read the previous verses is it builds up to that one verse, and then the following two verses conclude from that one verse what was going on in his life. He was literally speaking to them because he had believed, and he continued to believe. And that's really, in the Greek, was there is a permanent trust and confidence in God. What I see in the church world today, what I see in this house, is that there is a temporary reliance on God. Not a permanent, confident reliance or trust in God. So in other words, there is not this permanent trust that we look at God like. It's maybe, God, I'll trust you today if I feel like it. Some people may even act like this. They may say, God, I'll do you a little bit of a favor today. I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to have a little bit of confidence in you today because I don't really know if you can really handle my big problems that happen. I don't know if you can really take care of everything that is going on in my life. Now, I'm not here today as a psychic. I'm not here today as someone that can look across at you, and I am gifted. I can discern things, and I have a lot of gifts in me that are stirred up every day, and I'm not asking anyone to be like me, because if you have those things going on inside of you, it can be quite discomforting at times, because you want to feel normal. You want to feel like, okay, I just want to be able to sit and not be structured and to be pulled by all these different areas that God may want you to deal with. So I'm only saying this, that you may be able then to look into your own heart and see the things that keeps you distracted from being fully persuaded. Because when you're fully persuaded, friend, you worship. When you're fully persuaded, you believe God for a miracle, and you won't give up believing till it comes. When you're fully persuaded, you're convinced that God's God and that there's no other God before Him in your life. Money is not the God of your life. If you don't have any money, God is God. If you have a lot of money, God is God. If you are somewhere sandwiched in between that spectrum, God is God. Amen. He is always the God whom we serve. We are convinced that He is the God of this church. We are convinced that we are worshiping a King of glory. I want to remind all of you today that if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here. One person said, "There's no God, it was the Big Bang Theory." The one person responded back across the auditorium, "Yes, it was the Big Bang. It was God clapping His hands at the joy of what He just made. Praise God." Let me tell you something, my friend. We can praise a holy God no matter where you're at. God, can I say this? Thank you, I will. God is just waiting to anoint you. But He will not anoint when there is a lack of trust and a lack of confidence and a lack of you being convinced that He is God in every circumstance of your life. Sometimes the church world makes fear their God. And how about when you wake up in the morning? Now, I know that I'm not speaking to anybody here because everyone's perfect, okay? But when you wake up in the morning, the first thought that comes into your mind is the trouble that you have to face that day. Fear grips the heart. Fear takes hold and starts to dictate, and the fear of loss of job, the fear of not being able to be really prepared for an exam, the fear of maybe a relationship that's broken that may not be healed, the fear of whether or not you're going to be able to make it through the day because of all the difficulties that are there before you, or even the emotion that you wake up with where you just don't feel like facing the day. I'm here to tell you today, God is God. And you need to be convinced that no matter what's going on in your life, God is God. And He will never forsake you, never leave you, and He's just waiting for an opportunity, now hear me, to bless you. He's waiting for an opportunity to fill you with the Holy Ghost and power. He's waiting for you to lay hands on the sick, whereby they will be healed. He's waiting for you to speak into somebody's life prophetically because they need a word. And you're the epistle that's bringing the word, instead of waiting for somebody else to bring the word. You're just there. And what God is wanting everyone to do by the sound of my voice today, whether digitally or ever present here with me, is this. God is wanting you to be trained how to hear His voice. Because there's two or three voices that go on all the time. One of the voices is God. One of the voices is definitely the enemy of the kingdom of God. And the other voice is your flesh. Is your flesh saying no or yes? Or I don't feel like it.
or that's not good enough for me. Let me tell you something. God wants to bless you so deeply. And God can do it because God's able. His divine power could preserve Paul. So in other words, you and I are preserved daily by God. We're there. When we wake up, we wake up in God. When we walk through our day, we walk through our day in God. When we go to sleep, we go to sleep in God. Matter of fact, we live and move and have our being in Him. We're surrounded by God. There's an anointing on me this morning. The devil can't mess with that anointing because it's God. And the devil knows better to mess with the anointing of God. You see, and you have to grab a hold of that as a church. And the church in America has stepped back from its anointing and allowed the world to begin to anoint and dictate on how the church should be. And God is saying, I want my children, my son's bride, to stand up without spot or wrinkle, without fear or doubt, but to be fully convinced that I am God in their life. And Paul knew that he would never be disappointed by God. God's never disappointed me. God's never disappointed me. I've disappointed God. But I've never been disappointed by God. He's always blessed. He's always been there. He's always fulfilled. He's always promoted. He's always humbled. He's always healed. He's always provided for. He's always brought groceries when there weren't any groceries. He's always put gas in the tank, whether there was money for it or not. He's always answered the prayer at the right time, not the time on my watch, but the time that He lives in, when He steps into my life. And He answers the prayer at the most appropriate time when I really needed it, not when I desired it. God is God. Let me take you to a scripture here in Philippians 1 and 6. Being confident of this very thing, that which He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, there's that word, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. You see, God is so good, He can keep a life or ministry committed to Him in a position of perfect safety. Your ministry, whatever it may be. You say, preacher, I don't have a ministry. Don't let the devil take your ministry from you. Don't confess you don't have a ministry. Everyone has a ministry. He'll protect your ministry safely. Right. He'll protect your family. He'll protect your relationships. Right now, I can't protect my grandchildren like I like to do. They're 2,700 miles away from me. But God, He'll protect them. Praise God. I can't protect my baby. My baby, she's 32 years old. And literally, I can't protect her right now. But God, because she's 2,700 miles away. I tried to protect her yesterday. I called her 7 times. You see, and I love what Larry did today by the blog, the thought. Is that I felt like the Lord. I'm not the Lord. Far from it. Don't want to be Him because I'd mess Him up. But I felt like the Lord trying to get through. I didn't tell you, my daughter never answered the phone. I knew she needed to talk. She needed her dad. She didn't answer the phone. I believe sometimes God may look across at Jesus up in glory and say this: I know they need to talk to me. I know they're needing my assistance. I'm trying to knock on their door, and they're not answering.
That's right.
You see, we have to look at what God is speaking to our heart at times. Sometimes we become so religious that we take a speaker like myself, who's willing to tell the truth and say the truth when the truth needs to be spoken, and go, I can't believe he's saying that. That's not for me. It must be for the guy across the seats from me, because I am like totally really religious and cool. And by the way, I'm Church of God, and boy, don't mess with me. Let me tell you, God wants to reach into every heart there is, and no matter where you're at, wherever you think you are, because the less you become, the better you off with God. But I tell you, the more you think you are, the less he'll use you. But you need to understand that God wants to complete the work he started in you, and he'll keep you safe. He'll keep the recipients of his promises till the end. He'll keep the promise he's given you. I know that I'm speaking as an evangelist today. And I know that there are people by the sound of my voice that are wondering, where is my promise? Where's the answer to my prayer? Why hasn't God responded? Doesn't he know I hurt? Yes, it's on its way. He is responding. Have faith in God. He will bring it to pass. He will not forget your prayer. He will not answer your prayer. He will not forget that he spoke a promise into your life. He is God. Let all men be a liar, but God be true. Amen. If God starts something, which he did, the church, he will make sure it comes to completion. I'll tell you, the church may look like it's not doing anything across America, but it's doing something. There's that remnant that's praying, that's fasting, that is speaking in power when they pray, that are not afraid to walk up to somebody and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that are not ashamed of the gospel, that are not ashamed of the knowledge of Christ, and not ashamed to say, I'm a Christian, praise God. But they walk in the anointing of who God is, and they're willing to speak what God has them to say without any conditions put on it. It's whatever you say, God, that is what I will do. Amen. God wants to use this church. God wants to use you individually. God wants to use and pour an anointing into your life. That's why you feel hungry. It's not you're hungry because you don't get the word, because when you have me as a preacher, you're going to get the word. I'm not going to tell you a zillion stories. I'm going to tell you the word. Amen. Nothing wrong with telling a zillion stories, but I'd rather hear the word. Amen. The word will change you. A story will entertain you.
Amen.
Someone shout something this morning.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It's you're hungry because God is trying to anoint you, and you got a cork on the bottle. Take the cork off, let God in, and see what he can do with you. Amen.
Amen.
What God begins, I promise you, he'll complete. He'll stall the devil all day long, but he'll rev you up all day long. He'll make sure there's enough Holy Ghost gas in your tank that you'll get up any mountain. You'll get across any river. You'll be able to swim across any ocean. You'll be able to climb across any chasm that's so large that you can't see the other side. He'll take you through. He'll take you through the fire. He'll take you through the criticism. He'll take you through the scoffing. He'll take you through the mockery. He'll take you through the dislikes. He'll take you through all the things that are not supposed to be in his kingdom, because his kingdom is the love of God. Amen.
Amen.
He'll take you through it all. And if you'll just open up and say, God, pour it in me. Give me all that I can possibly contain. And when I spill it out, give me more. Give me more.
Amen.
Let me take you to Ephesians chapter 3. This is just my introduction. In Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. If you read it in the Greek, it reads as such. According to the power that works within us, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. There's a power. There's a power. There's an ascription to praise here. To God's ability expresses our assurance of answered prayer. He's able to answer every prayer you've ever prayed, no matter how big. As a matter of fact, would you do yourself a favor? Stop praying those small, little nimby-pamby prayers. Man, you're serving a big God. He likes a big parade. Go ahead and pray a prayer. Amen. If you're needing a little bit of extra help financially, don't ask him for 10. Ask him for 1,000,000. Praise God. Just begin to talk to God as the God that he is. Be convinced that he's able to do it for you.
Yes.
He's not a pauper. You don't have to walk up to him and go, he's got an extra $5 bill. I need to get the Clancy's today. Or do you have an extra $5 bill? I need to get something. Walk up to God and say, God, I need provision today. I'm the child of the King. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to walk in my anointing. Wherever I go today, I'm going to possess. It belongs to me because you promised where I put my feet, that which I can claim, that which I can own, because you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And the Bible says in Romans 8 that I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
Of course, the devil wants you to be non-expressive, too exhausted to pray, sitting by the river, wishing that God would show up. Well, he's there. He's there with you because he loves you. He cares for you. He strives to be into your life. He strives to come to you. He strives to answer every prayer that you do. And he will do it because he's able. The strength of our confidence in God is built on the ability for him to do the impossible. I've seen miracles in my life. I've been healed of an ulcer. Terrible, terrible ulcer. Gone. Gone. And everybody says, well, what happened to it? The devil got it. Now. I've seen a gas tank fill up and keep me going to where I need to go to get gas when I should have been on empty and ran out of gas in the middle of nowhere. God took me to the gas station. I've seen groceries show up at the front door when we and Kathy and I had nothing in the ministry, sacrificing to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing there, nothing in the cupboards. We were down to the last of the last of the last, and that's when you open it up, the cupboard goes creak, and you look in there, and when you look in there and you say, there's nothing left, it echoes back, there's nothing left, there's nothing left, there's nothing left. That's when you're down to the last of the last. And then all of a sudden, a little knock on the door. And two church ladies came by, said, we were praying this afternoon, Pastor Dennis, and we heard you had no food. I said, who told you? They said, the Holy Ghost. So we brought you these 4 bags of groceries and put them down, and it was exactly what we needed. You see, God knows what he's doing. Last week, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. He said, I need you to take 100 out of the offering and go give it to that person right now. I said, okay, Lord. I took $100 out of the offering, asked the clerk for the $100 bill that was in there, and I went to the person and I handed him back the $100, and he said, no, no, no. And I said, no, please take it, because God told me to give this to you. Got a text from him the other day. He said, thank you. We needed groceries really bad. Miracles! He must have prayed. God, we need help. God said, I got somebody to listen to me. You know, and I believe if y'all just open up, take off the cork, take the plugs out of the ear. They don't work anyhow. Take them out and listen to the voice of God. He'll direct you to bless people. I was at camp this week. I had to get a bag of ice, and I walked in there, and it's $3.70 for a bag of ice. The first thing that I said is, man, they're making a killing. Just being real. I reached in and handed over my debit card. She goes, we charge for the debit card anything under $5. I said, well, I don't carry cash with me. So I'll put it back, and this guy over here in the corner says, how much is it? I'll take care of it. I said, you know, sir, I got some money right over my truck. I'm going to go get it. Thank you. I walked away, no more than 100 feet, and the Holy Ghost says, so why have you stolen his blessing? First thing I said to God was, oops. So I went and got the money. I paid it. I found the guy. And I said, man, I want to tell you something, man. I just want to tell you what happened to me just now. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, oh, don't worry about it, brother. He's from another church, another Christian church. He was trying to bless me. You know, and I said, I asked for him for his forgiveness, that I wanted, God was wanting to bless me, and he was going to bless him, and we made all that work, praise God. But the point being is sometimes if we're not careful, we can cut somebody's blessing off because we have a hard time receiving. We have a hard time receiving. Somebody wants to bless. We go, no. But inside you're going, oh, and I could really use that right now. You know, and God wants to bless that person. Are you with me this morning? You understand what I'm trying to say to your spirit? God is able. He's exceedingly, abundantly more than able to do. He always goes beyond what you think he'll do. He's amazing. He is really amazing. He'll take whatever you think and he'll just make it better. Yeah. He never holds back. You know, I tell you one thing I serve today is I serve a God that is not selfish.
That's right.
I serve a God who is not selfish. We can say like David said in Psalm 23:5, my cup runneth over. He could have just poured him a cup of wine. But he ran that thing all over his wrist and his hand, down his arm. God was letting him know, you better take a drink, man, because I'm keep pouring till you can't drink anymore. Oh, someone shout, amen.
Hallelujah.
Or we could be like in the Psalm, Song of Solomon. He brought me to the banqueting house and his banner over me was love. He took me to dinner. I went in there and had a banquet with Jesus. When's the last time some of you sat down and ate with Jesus in prayer, in your prayer closet, and you tried to pray, but all you got was Jesus? You tried to speak in tongues, and all you got was Jesus. You just couldn't say anything. It was just Jesus. He was just covering you. And his banner over you was love. You were being protected. And I'm going to tell you something. If you'll only know this, and I want you to hear it from a man's heart that loves you, he was protecting you against the evils of the world. He was protecting you. He was giving the fullness of his presence in your life at that time because something else was trying to get into your spirit, and God was not allowing it to come in. Whatever we ask,
Because there's a power that works in us. That's the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need the Holy Ghost. Some of the funniest thing I think about is the criticizers in the church world. Most of them don't have the Holy Ghost. But what really, really brings distaste to the Lord is the criticizers in the kingdom that have the Holy Ghost and criticize when they know they shouldn't. Someone say amen. Well, you know what our job is in the kingdom is not to judge one another, but to bless one another. Is to love one another, to care for one another. Praise God, hallelujah, to the Lamb of God forevermore. He is so worthy of praise. So much can be said every day about life and its relationship with the Lord. Every day. But you know, every day we live in three different worlds. We live in our physical world, we live in our emotional world, and we live in our spiritual world. God wants to be king of all three of those. Sometimes in our physical world, we just put up with the sickness. Well, bless God, I'm sick. Hallelujah. I'm not going to ask for prayer for it because I'm kind of enjoying this. Well, that's how some folks act. You want prayer for that? No. What? You say, well, okay, you can say, preacher, you're just picking. No, I'm not picking. Go back to the Old Testament. I don't know about you, but if my backyard was covered with frogs, and an exterminator came by and said, I can get rid of those frogs. When do you want them to get rid of? And I looked at the frogs. It was early in the day. And I looked back at him and I said, tomorrow. I'd be a little concerned about the guy who had the frogs when he had an opportunity to be delivered that day, that moment. He said, come back tomorrow. And there were so many frogs that when he did kill them all up, the land stunk with them. Sometimes I think in church we got some folks that are stinking with frogs. When we need to understand that God wants us cleansed and made right and whole before Him. And in our physical world, we need to let God take care of us. You know, every once in a while I get that pain back in my face, you know. Every once in a while. Not like it used to be at all. I don't take any medication for it because I don't want any narcotics in my body. I don't want to go get any crazy little brain surgery because I want to be able to preach. And I certainly don't want any radiation surgery because I don't want to have a slurred tongue. So every time I start to get a little pain, I take my right hand, I put it up against my face. You say, preacher, don't you call a healer? There's my hand. I put it up there. And if you want, I call 1-800-JESUS. I call the healer, praise God. And I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, heal this right now. And I know this is not you, God. It's the devil. You say, preacher, how do you know it's the devil? Because I can be out of the pulpit. It hurts. When I walk into the pulpit, it goes away. Now you tell me. And you know, God takes the pain away. God takes care of things because He is our God. You got a problem today, physically? Why don't you say, Jesus, heal me? Emotionally? Oh, we have so many difficulties with emotions today in the church world. People are so stirred. They're back and forth with emotions. They're up and down with emotions. They're crying. They're sad. They're happy. They're glad. They're anywhere in between. They're like a marble cake full of emotions. Some people you don't even know how you need to approach. Now, come on now. Don't go cold on me now. You don't know if they're going to look at you. You don't know if they're going to criticize you. You don't know if they're going to say something ugly to you. You don't know if they're going to hug your neck and keep squeezing till your eyeballs pop out. You don't know exactly what they're going to do, but you just kind of, you're hoping that you catch them on a good emotional time. Or you need to be, or I need to be in a good emotional time when somebody comes to address you. You're hoping, oh my gosh, I feel like a bear that just woke up from the sleep. I'm hungry and here comes somebody wanting me to help them. You know, I mean, I'm just saying to you, we need to be always highly anointed in our emotions. Because it's our emotions that get us in trouble. Physically, you can sit here, you're still physical. But inside, there's emotions churning.
going all over the place. Going this way. I probably got a few of you mad already today. Or I should say angry, because mad is something that animals do. So angry. You're probably thinking, well, I can't believe he said that. Is he picking on me? I'm not doing anything but preaching, okay? God's doing the picking, okay? All I'm trying to do is God's just trying to get a hold of you and trying to say to you, I want to anoint you. I want to fill you. I want to bless you. I want to have you contained by my Holy Ghost. I want to surround you with my love. I want to put you in the palm of my hand. I'm going to spread you and have the shadow of the pinions of my wings overshadow you. I want at your left hand 1,000 to fall and at your right hand 10,000. I don't want any evil to befall you, and I don't want any plague coming near your dwelling, because you have called on my name, because you love me and I love you. Amen. I want to bless you coming in and you bless you going out. Then they're spiritually. Man, we get so wrecked up spiritually. God moves and we start to question it. God does a new thing and we're like paging through the, we're ripping through the Bible. Where was that? Over there, I think it's in the New Testament. I don't know, I just paced through it at 100 miles an hour. I didn't find it. God does a new thing. He doesn't have to ask us about it. He doesn't. I can't believe that person spoke in tongues and the other person gave the interpretation and that prophetic word. I can't believe what it said. God don't have to check on you. He's gonna use who he'll use. Listen, friend, you say, well, preacher, come on, you don't have any word for that. Listen, if he uses a mule, he'll use who he'll use. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you, but that would have been a really a funny graphic that day to be walking down the road and have a mule say something like, hey, you're going the wrong way, man. I mean, you're like, oh my gosh, you know, how'd you like to be Eve? A serpent stands up, which is already walking at that point, said, I need to talk to you about God. I'd be a little freaked. How would you like to be Moses? God uses a tree. Amen. I saw a tree that was burning, but it was burning. It wasn't burning up. It was burning. That's what I like about us. I think I'd love to be a tree. Somebody said they'd like to be a star. I'd want to be a tree that burns for God but doesn't burn up. Amen. Where people could turn and come and find the Lord. Spiritually, we need to be those people that are wholesome in the spiritual by what? Prayer and praise. By propitiation, by knowing that God is there for us and he is able to do all that we ever could ask or think. Wait a minute, what is he? He's exceedingly abundantly more than able to do all that we ask or think according to the power which is the Holy Ghost, because I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. What that word is, strengthen, it's the dunamis, it's the explosion of the anointing of God. And when God's anointing explodes, the devil hightails. The mountains go flat. The crooked roads go straight. The rivers open. The oceans dry. My God, the seas make a way for you to walk.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Amen. There's just a depth of trust we find even in the word that he kept on trying to find with his people. Trust me. Peter, his best disciple per se, the guy that was the protector of Jesus, he took it to his own flesh, and Jesus was trying to get to the cross. Peter tried to stop him. Man, I want to, you know, when I read that story, I want to grab a hold of Peter and say, what's wrong with you, dude? Don't you dare stop him getting to that cross. I want that cross. Jesus said, get ye behind me, Satan. He knew what was trying to stop. And oftentimes we try to stop the flow of the Holy Ghost. It's not really you that's trying to stop it, but the enemy comes in. And even if you think you're real spiritual, he starts to use you to stop the flow of the Holy Ghost in a service, because he knows if the Holy Ghost breaks through, there will be freedom. Yeah. There'll be freedom. Yeah.
Luke 14 and 33, so then any of you who does not forsake, renounce, surrender, claim to, give up, say goodbye to all that he has cannot be my disciple. Bye-bye, old life. Bye-bye, part of my life that I say I can hang out with. Bye-bye, I'm not going to deal with this any longer. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Romans 1 and 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is God's power working unto salvation for deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes, with a personal trust and a confident surrender and firm reliance to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 6 and 16, do you not know that if you continually surrender yourselves to anyone to do his will, you are the slaves of him who you obey? Whether it, that be to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, right doing and right standing with God. You see, there's no in between. You're either going to surrender over to the enemy's ways, or you're going to surrender to God's way. And the Bible says if you're sitting on the fence, he's going to spew you out. Amen. He'd rather have you cold or hot. He don't want you lukewarm. The reason he doesn't want you lukewarm is because 1 John, light and darkness cannot dwell together. So when you start to act as though you're God, you're lying, because God said that light and darkness cannot dwell together.
Amen.
And if you're not living for God and you think you're anointed, you're lying, because the anointing of God cannot anoint sin and flow with sin. In my close, I'd like to say this to you. There are three distinct points that I've already covered, but I just want to go over them quickly with you. The first point is that you need to be persuaded. Persuaded that God is able. I want you to go through your heart right now. Look, go through your mind. Go through your day. Be persuaded that God is able. What's going on in your life? God is able. I love it when the Bible says, is anything too hard for the Lord? I tell you, when he takes somebody as old as Abraham and make him work again, in a woman whose womb was dried and make it work again, and then wait 25 years for that promise to come about, my God, my God. He was already broken 25 years earlier. My God! Is anything too hard for the Lord? That little widow woman had nothing left. Give me some bread. Give me some drink. I don't have anything left. What I'm collecting now is some sticks and the meal I got left. My son and I are going to eat it and then we're going to die. That's the confession of the church. We're just ready to die. He said, feed me this. She obeyed God. She made him bread and drink. And she went back. She reached in there. And as she took out, she met God's hand given in. Praise God. As she took out, she met God's hand given in. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Little widow woman loses her husband. As a priest, she had no income. Had sons, she was in debt. The prophet said, what do you have for me to do? She offered, she talked, she didn't have no what to say to him. He said, go get some vessels. Go behind a door. God's going to give you a closed door miracle. He doesn't want everybody to see it, but he's going to give you a private showing of what he can do. When you bring in somebody else's vessel and you pour what little you have out, I'm going to pour what great I have in. Amen.
Amen.
Is anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, no. He saw a drug dealer one day. Full of sin, full of anger, with a life that was terrible, a life that was horrific, a life that saw nothing but violence and anger and pain and rejection. And he saved Dennis Adams.
He gave Dennis Adams a ministry. He anointed Dennis Adams with a preaching voice. God can keep, and he's going to keep it until the day of the Lord. Amen. We need to secondly be determined. Be determined for what the Lord has promised you. He's going to make it happen in your life, and he'll continue it to the day of the Lord. To be confident in the work of God in you. He is working in you, even now. He's working in you. Decisions need to be made. Future plans. What's going on in my ministry? What's happening in my life? What is life doing right now? Have you ever felt like that? God's working in you. It's not you freaking out. It's God working in you. You're just wrestling against God. Wrestle on, my friend. Wrestle on, my friend. And when all of a sudden you can't take it anymore, and God says, that's it, say, no, not till you bless me. And then walk away with a limp, praise God, because that limp proves that you've been with the Holy Ghost, and he's anointed you, and your name no longer will be the name you own. Now you will be called a king of the land that God has given you to reign in. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
I like what it says in Titus 1 and 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, didn't say he should not, didn't say he could not. He said, I cannot lie. God cannot lie. And what he cannot lie about is everything, because he promised before time began that you would have eternal life. Tell the devil, get off your eternal life. Get off your eternal life. That's my eternal life. He paid a price for me to have eternal life. And when God tells you a promise, I want you to say that with me. God cannot lie. Oh, say it like you mean it. God cannot lie. If he's promised you something, it's going to happen. If he told you you're going to get something, it's coming. If he promised you're going to be healed, you're going to be healed. Tell that sickness, don't worry, you ain't going to be around much longer. If God promised you you're going to preach, I got one word to say to you. Preach! God called me to preach. I bought me one of them fat old Ryrie Bibles, gold trim, leather bound, $75 Bible. And I was reminded by the Holy Spirit. Now, I would take that to the restaurants. I'd be that guy, if you invited out to dinner, you'd go, I hope you don't bring this Bible. Because you know that we'd have to sit at a bigger table. That thing was so big. Everywhere I went, that Bible was with me. Everywhere. Then I grew up a little bit and got a smaller one. Amen. I used this Bible for years in revival. I was about to throw a briefcase away the other day. And I went to feel in the briefcase, you know. And I didn't want to throw it away because it had my initials on it. You know what I'm saying? We'll leave that alone. You know, a briefcase with your initials is pretty cool. You know what I mean? But all the vinyl was tearing off. So it wasn't expensive, you know. And underneath the vinyl was paper. So you know what I'm saying? I won't go down that hall. Some of us are like that kind of Christian. You know, we got all that vinyl on the outside and underneath us nothing but paper. You know? Oh, preacher, preach on. Come on now. What I'm trying to say to you is this, is that all of a sudden I felt those pencils. I said, man, I haven't seen that pen in like 15 years, you know. It still worked. Amen. The evangelist in me wants to say, like, some people you need to know, you still work. Okay, I'm going to move forward. But all of a sudden I felt again. I felt this book. I pulled it out. There's that Bible. It'll never be away from me again. Praise God. I've laid this Bible on people's lives and their hands to be healed, they're for salvation, for headaches to be gone, for colds to be gone, for them to be full in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Praise God. Amen. I prayed the prayer one time, God, I want what C.R. Spain had, one of our earliest preachers in the Church of God. God anointed his Bible, and he would call people to the altar, and this is what he would say, come and touch my Bible. They'd touch his Bible, they'd get healed, slain in the Holy Ghost, blinded eyes open, deaf ears open. Don't you look at me like, my God, preacher, now you're getting a little scary. No, the church needs to get back to the power and the anointing of God and stop worrying about religion and how everything looks. They need to get back into looking like Jesus again, acting like Jesus again, and moving in the power of the Lord. Lastly, let's just be faithful. How about that? That's a big one, isn't it? Be faithful. Be faithful till you get uncomfortable. Be faithful till it is a sacrifice. Be faithful no matter what. Amen. My life is, I am a faithful guy. The reason I haven't moved up here is not that I don't love this church and that this is my priority. It is because I got to be faithful to my calling. And my calling is to the whole Bay Area. My calling is to Monterey County, Santa Cruz County, Santa Clara County, Alameda County, San Francisco County, Contra Costa County. My calling is to the Bay Area. I don't ask you to understand my anointing. I can hardly understand it, so why would I want you to try to understand it? I'm just glad that God has entrusted me with an anointing for beyond the walls of one church. Even my own denomination asked me, well, how do you do that? I often say to them, have you read about Paul? Have you read about Timothy? You know how many churches Timothy looked over? His first church was 52,000 people. Not all contained in one building, but all the people that he oversaw. 52,000 people, his first church. Man, in the church of God, if you get your first church, you'd be lucky to get two, and they're walking out when you're walking in. You know, you just got to know who you are in God and be thankful for that. Amen. I've never regretted my anointing. I could have stayed a person that was raised in a religion. And when I walked in the church, I genuflect, did a couple things with my hand and threw it in, got a little water, threw it out there, and then sat down and felt pretty good. I didn't do anything else. But God anointed me. God wants to anoint this church. God wants to anoint you. God wants to touch your life. He goes beyond your hopes and dreams. I don't care what you're dreaming right now, what you're thinking, what your hopes are. God's got it way beyond there. So stop reaching for your dreams. Start reaching for what God has for you. Reach for what God has for you. You know what? A dream, you can hope and you can dream, but a thought will take you way beyond those hopes and dreams. A thought will take you to where you need to be. And he's given you a power that'll take you through that. I'm going to read this and then we're going to close. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. 2 Samuel, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is the shield to all who trust in him. He's a shield. Man, if the devil's getting through you, it's because you're walking outside the shield. Every day, you know, I don't enter a pulpit till I pray. I don't enter a pulpit till I put on the armor of God, no matter where I'm at. I put on the armor of God. I want that shield in front of me. I'm not worried about the rearward because there's angels behind me taking care of that. Matter of fact, I looked over me right before I come up and I looked beyond all the folks behind me, by the way, and I saw goodness and mercy. What do you know that? I read this book. I like what this book says. It says I live. I win. I'm anointed. The devil's scared of me. Praise God, I don't have to put up with his shenanigans. I can pray unto a God who's holy and he'll do all the things that I ask because he's able.
He's exceedingly abundantly more than able all that we can ask or think. He's God. But I want to just say this. Being persuaded, being determined, and being faithful in your relationship with the Lord and trusting that which you have deposited with Him, He will keep it safely and securely until the day of the Lord. He, the Lord, will not let anything hinder nor disturb His promises that He has promised you, for He cannot lie. In 1896, Judson W. Van Deventer wrote this song. And I know this song. I just am not going to sing it, because I know you'll want to sign me and everything, you know. I surrender all. Old hymnal we used to sing years ago. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to His name.